Chapter 23. Drinking for Energy. Takeaway. Luckily, what is good for your brain is good for your body. To drink for energy, drink fewer alcoholic and sugary drinks, drink more water, which is incredible for your brain health, and learn to drink caffeine strategically when you'll actually benefit from the energy boost, not habitually. Only water. As another productivity experiment, I drank only water for an entire month, cutting out all caffeine, alcohol, and sugary drinks from my diet. It's incredible just how many ingrained habits you have around what you drink over the course of the month, and I wanted to get to the bottom of how all the stuff I drank impacted my productivity, if at all. Not only did this save me a ton of money, I spend way more on coffee and alcohol every month than I think, I also learned a lot about just how profoundly what I drank affected my productivity. While eating no processed foods and stopping when you're full are great ways to increase your energy, drinking for energy is more difficult to figure out, especially when common beverages like caffeine and alcohol hardly make a dent in your glucose levels. A side note on sugary drinks. Every day, the average person consumes a whopping 356 calories through what he or she drinks, and 44% of those calories come from sugary drinks that give the consumer a huge glucose rush and then crash afterward. I didn't have the chance to play around with sugary drinks during this experiment. Though I drink the occasional smoothie, I've never had a habit of drinking sugary drinks. I've always tried to get as many of my calories from actual food as possible. There are also zero productivity benefits to drinking sugary drinks, so I've always steered clear of them. Even fruit juices that seem amazingly healthy for you on the surface spike glucose levels to crazy high levels and then cause an energy crash afterward. I mostly experimented with cutting out caffeine and alcohol from my diet during the experiment. Borrowing energy from tomorrow. Before starting the experiment, I didn't consume an excess of coffee or alcohol. Most days I had a cup or two of green tea, which contains about 20% of the caffeine in a cup of coffee, and every week I had a cup or two of coffee. I also only drank a few alcoholic drinks a week, usually socially or while watching a hockey game. Before the water experiment, I wasn't deliberate about when and what I drank, but that quickly began to change, as I had the chance to step back to reflect on how both alcohol and caffeine either helped or hindered my productivity. Something is considered a drug when it has a physiological effect on your body, and caffeine and alcohol are no exception to this rule. As an example, both boost how much dopamine, a main pleasure chemical in your brain, the neural pathways in your brain produce, essentially rewarding you for consuming caffeine and alcohol. Dopamine isn't entirely a bad thing, and it would be hard to become motivated without it, but it does make certain substances more rewarding than others. While I didn't experience any withdrawal while cutting out caffeine or alcohol, I did notice something intriguing. By the end of the month, I began to have an insane amount of energy, particularly on weekends. Not only that, but the amount of energy I had, again, especially over the weekend, was incredibly stable and didn't fluctuate nearly as much as when I consumed a few or more drinks every week. After I noticed these effects and conducted some research to dive deeper into them, I began to realize, much like sugar, alcohol isn't worth consuming for productivity reasons. Drinking alcohol also doesn't even make a dent on reducing the stress hormones in your body. Alcohol may provide you with a bit more energy or creativity as you drink it, but it will also almost always provide you with a net loss in energy and productivity, and make it much more difficult to accomplish what you intend to, especially after you come down off the buzz the drug gives you. I see drinking alcohol as a way of borrowing energy from tomorrow. But in the morning, you have to pay interest on that energy loan. This leaves you with a net loss in energy, and mixing alcohol with either sugar or caffeine only exacerbates that crash. Of course, this is a cost a lot of people are willing to pay, and this gets to my point at the beginning of the book about making changes that are meaningful to you. Every once in a while, I'm willing to put up with these costs. When I'm out with friends, I sometimes have a few drinks, but only after I consider the energy costs that they will have and mentally assess whether those costs are worth it. If you intend to have a wild and crazy night, then do, all the more power to you. But do consider the costs. Since my water experiment, I've begun to account for the fact that I will have a net loss in energy whenever I have a drink or two. And I will usually drink more water that night and the next day to dampen their effects. Since discovering just how much energy I had when I didn't drink, I've cut my alcohol consumption in half. This isn't saying a lot when I didn't drink heavily to begin with, but I would encourage you to think about the fact that alcohol can have a significant impact on your energy levels and productivity when you decide whether or not to have a drink or two or three. A lot of the productivity and diet books I've read suggest cutting alcohol completely out of your diet. But I think for most people, that's either too draconian to stick with in the long term or something they just don't want to do. At least by understanding the costs of drinking on your energy levels and productivity, you are aware of the impact on your decisions. Then you can decide if you wish to change your habits accordingly. By the way, if you're a fan of having a nightcap before you head to bed to help you sleep, watch out. While alcohol has been shown to help you fall asleep faster, it compromises your overall sleep quality, particularly toward the end of your sleep session. Adapting to coffee. Just as drinking alcohol is a way of borrowing energy from tomorrow, drinking caffeine is a way of borrowing energy from later in the day. If there were a way of consuming caffeine without crashing afterwards, it would be an absolute no-brainer as far as productivity is concerned. This unfortunately isn't the case. 8 to 14 hours after you consume caffeine, your body metabolizes it out of your system, which causes an energy crash, though this exact number varies from person to person. There is a chemical in your body and brain called adenosine, which tells your brain when it's tired. Caffeine prevents your brain from absorbing this chemical, which prevents your brain from knowing it's tired. But here's the thing. While caffeine blocks your brain from absorbing adenosine, the chemical continues to build up until caffeine eventually lets your brain absorb it again. Your body and brain then absorb a whole whack of this tired chemical at once, which causes your energy levels to plummet. There are a few ways to lessen these effects, which we'll get to, but there isn't a way to prevent them. At the same time, though, while you invariably crash after consuming anything with caffeine in it, caffeine can be a powerful tool to have at your disposal as far as your productivity is concerned, when you begin to drink it deliberately instead of habitually. Sense a theme? Let's say you have a ritual of preparing yourself a fresh, steaming cup of coffee every morning. Although this ritual is a romantic one and a graceful way to ease into the day, it isn't all that great for your energy levels. Since drinking coffee is a way of borrowing energy from later in the day, having a daily cup of coffee in the morning simply causes your energy levels to dip at the same time every afternoon. Since it takes your body 8 to 14 hours to metabolize caffeine, if you have a cup after you wake up, this means you'll crash at the same time every day in the late afternoon, when you'll have to choose to either slog through a wave of low energy or drink another cup, which may compromise your sleep, since your body will only begin to metabolize the caffeine a couple of hours before you head to bed. This is a downward spiral more than a few people fall into. But there is another downside to drinking coffee habitually that's easy to overlook. Your body adapts to how much caffeine you consume. In other words, if you have one cup of coffee every morning, your body slowly gets used to that amount until it becomes your new normal. In fact, your brain even begins to grow new adenosine receptors as it acclimates to how much caffeine you consume. At first, when you go from drinking no coffee to drinking one cup of coffee, you get a huge burst of energy and productivity. And this feedback is immediate, which reinforces your new coffee habit. But once your body gets used to that amount of coffee, to reach a comparable caffeine high, you need to drink two cups of coffee every morning because your body has adapted to drinking one. If you simply continue drinking only one cup every morning, the science shows that you're no better off than when you started. During my experiment to drink only water for a month, I didn't experience any caffeine withdrawal. But I quickly began to miss the stuff at the times I used to drink it. When I ran across cues in my work environment that triggered my habit of having a cup of tea or coffee. Things like attending an important meeting, working on a high return task, or visiting the gym. That's when I realized just how powerful becoming deliberate about when you consume caffeine can be. When you consume caffeine habitually, your productivity eventually flatlines after your body adapts to how much caffeine you consume. But when you drink caffeine strategically, your productivity takes off because you'll begin to benefit from bringing more energy and attention to tasks that require a large amount of energy, focus, or both. The most productive way to drink caffeine. As I write these words, it's 10:30 a.m., and I'm sitting in a small coffee shop close to home, sipping on a medium black coffee. While I don't have a habit of drinking a lot of coffee, on days like today, I like to. Doing so is letting me bring even more energy and focus to writing this book, and in my view, is worth the cost later on. There are periods of the day when having extra energy will help you out the most, and for me, this is one of them. Making the jump from drinking caffeine habitually to strategically is a tough one to make, but it's worth chipping away at. If you're hooked on coffee and drink 2 cups every day, for example, you can begin by filling each cup up with a quarter of decaf coffee. You'll likely not notice much of a difference. The great thing is, something magical happens as you begin to drink caffeine strategically instead of habitually. You suddenly have access to a large reservoir of energy that you can summon whenever you need it the most. The more demanding a task is, the more having that extra energy will benefit you when it comes time to work on it. During my project, and particularly after my water experiment, I began to consume caffeine before doing tasks like giving an important presentation, writing a big article, working on one of my 3 daily intentions, diving into a complicated research paper, or a big workout. Caffeine has been shown to positively affect athletic performance. A quick note for if you're an introvert. Caffeine has been shown to make introverts perform poorer on tasks that are quantitative and done under time pressure, whereas it has been found to have the opposite effect for extroverts. This is because introverts are more stimulated by their environment by default, and that extra caffeine can push them over the edge. As an ambivert, I fall somewhere in between, maybe even a little on the introverted side, and have found that a moderate amount of caffeine positively impacts my performance in nearly all situations. In addition to drinking caffeine at more strategic times, here are a few suggestions for drinking caffeine strategically in general. Don't drink any sugary or alcoholic caffeinated drinks. They'll only cause you to crash quicker and harder. Be careful about drinking caffeine before working on a creative task, because caffeine has been shown to hurt your performance with tasks that involve creativity. Be mindful that you don't consume caffeine less than 8 to 14 hours before bed so it doesn't affect your sleep. If it makes sense for your productivity, consume caffeine between 9:30 and 11:30 a.m. if you wake up between 6 and 8. This is when caffeine will have the greatest impact on your energy levels because you naturally have less energy then when your cortisol levels are lower. Caffeine also has a bigger effect between 1:30 and 5:30 p.m., but because it needs 8 to 14 hours to leave your system, it's likely not worth the impact it will have on your sleep. Find a better caffeine delivery system, like green tea or matcha. Green tea and matcha are my favorite caffeine vehicles because they're chock full of antioxidants and L-theanine, which ease the caffeine crash afterwards. Matcha is a tad more expensive than tea and coffee, but I think it's well worth the price. For a few extra bucks, you essentially buy back some energy that you'll be able to use later in the day. When you consider how your energy levels can have such a huge impact on how much you accomplish, it's often worth the extra cost. Use an energy crash strategically. I often like to drink a big cup of coffee 12 hours before an overnight flight, so so I crash just in time to sleep all the way through the flight. And when I travel overseas, I like to drink coffee a few hours after I wake up, so I have a ton of energy throughout the day and crash in time for my new bedtime. The productivity possibilities are endless when you step back to consume caffeine strategically. This is yet another reason why becoming more deliberate is so powerful. For the love of water. While my original intention with the water experiment was to observe how removing caffeine and alcohol from my diet would affect my productivity, I should have guessed how much more energy I would have when I consumed only water all month. Water is like meditation, so simple but so pure and so powerful. As far as drinks go, it's by far the most basic, but after this experiment, it's become my clear favorite, and I've had a bottle of water by my side ever since. Every morning, the very first thing I do after waking up is to drink a liter of water. And on most days, I don't stop drinking water until I go to bed. An innumerable number of studies back up just how great water is for your health and productivity. One study found that drinking water first thing in the morning fires up your metabolism, making it 24% faster. Plus, you're usually dehydrated when you wake up because you just went 8 hours without drinking anything. Another discovered that participants who drank a glass of water before every meal lost 4.5 pounds over 3 months. Why? Because water partly fills your stomach before you eat and acts as a calorie-free appetite suppressant. Water also helps you think more clearly. Your brain tissue is made up of 75% water, clears up your complexion, and significantly reduces your risk of many diseases and ailments. Drinking more water will even save you money. I'm a huge fan of living frugally. I see saving money as a way of buying back my own time in the future, and so every glass of water I drink is one glass of something costly that I don't drink. Drinking water for a month saved me $150 because I didn't allow myself to buy other, more expensive, less healthy drinks. Yes, water is boring as far as drinks go, unless you're a total badass and mix things up by drinking carbonated or flavored water, but don't overlook it. Unlike alcohol or sugary drinks that rob you of energy later on, or caffeine, which can wreak havoc on your energy levels when you don't drink it deliberately, water invariably leaves you with more energy than you started with. And when you drink 3 liters a day, if you're a woman, or 4 liters a day, if you're a man, I think you'll be surprised at how much more energy you have, particularly if you aren't hydrated enough already. I've found that I need more than the recommended 8 cups, 2 liters a day, to perform at an optimal level. Many organizations, including the U.S. Institute of Medicine, have found the same. Not getting enough water can cause fatigue, sleepiness, and anxiety, and make it more difficult to concentrate, all of which hurt your productivity. After my water experiment finished up, I went out and bought a 1 liter water bottle that I carry with me everywhere. I fill it 4 times a day. Drinking more water and fewer energy hijacking drinks is a simple tactic, but getting enough H2O will help you keep kicking ass all day long. Just as many people could eat half of what they already do and not be hungry, a lot of people could double their water intake and feel that much better. The water challenge. Time required, 2 minutes. Energy and focus required, 2 out of 10. Value, 7 out of 10. Fun, 7 out of 10. What you'll get out of it. You'll experience far fewer energy crashes throughout the day and have much more overall energy throughout the week. Energy is the fuel that you burn in order to be productive. Drinking more water and fewer alcoholic, sugary, and even caffeinated beverages will give you more to burn over the course of the day and week. My challenge for you is to, this week, make one small incremental improvement to what you drink. It's almost impossible to completely overhaul what you drink overnight if you want the changes to stick. Here are a few ideas of habits you can work on. Consume fewer sugary drinks. Sugary drinks spike your glucose levels and cause a huge energy crash later on. For productivity reasons alone, they aren't worth drinking. And sugary drinks that contain caffeine or alcohol can wreak havoc on your energy levels. Reduce your caffeine tolerance. Over time, this will help you drink caffeine strategically. Reducing how much caffeine you drink is especially helpful when you drink multiple cups every day, which can cause adrenal exhaustion over time and stress you out. Drink caffeine strategically, like before hunkering down on a pressing task or when you need the energy the most, such as between 9:30 and 11:30 a.m. for most people. Drink less alcohol. Yes, alcohol is fun, and that enjoyment is often worth the cost. But when you chip away at how much alcohol you drink over time, you'll be surprised by just how much more energy you'll have. Luckily, what is good for your brain is good for your body. Becoming more productive is a process of learning to work and live more deliberately. And when what you eat and drink has such a profound effect on your energy levels, I think both are worth taking a second look at, especially if your energy levels fluctuate quite a bit over the course of the day.